This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch HaBaim. Tonight we have an amazing shiur. The shiurim on Sefer Bamidbar are dedicated by my dear friend Rabbi Isaac Yosolovsky in honor of his father's yahrzeit, which is now. Tesvav Sivan, Lila Nishmas Shapsi ben Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, and also Zechus for Shlema for Yafa Malka, Esther Bas Leah, B'Sach Shachal Yisrael. Tonight's shiur, the Shirman Bamidbar, also dedicated by the Zakaim Mishpacha, Lila Nishmas, Rav Shomel Yez ben Rav Yaakov Zakaim, Rivka Bas Tavi Halevi, Rav Dov ben Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyen. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Miss Ilana Vogel, in appreciation to Gedalia Schwartz and Chaim Zeman for sending the images of Berchas Kaihanim. Also, tonight's shiur is dedicated for Shlema for Pinchas ben Sprinza. Okay, here we go. We have an amazing topic tonight. Actually, in years past, we discussed the image of the menorah on the Arch of Titus. I actually revisited it this Monday. And this week, I had the opportunity to film something for Tisha B'Av for my good friend Rabbi Yoel Gold that he's working on, but I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. But it did lead me to study another aspect of the Arch of Titus. And we know that everyone's focused on the menorah. So you look at the menorah, and there are a lot of questions about this menorah. Is this a halachic description of the menorah? We know that the menorah, according to the Rambam, it seemed to have been diagonal. The menorah had legs on it. The menorah did not have idolatrous images. And in this depiction of the menorah on the Arch of Titus, it is inconsistent in all three ways. So there's a big question. Is this the actual menorah from the Beis HaMikdash? Is this not the menorah from the Beis HaMikdash? And if you're interested in that, you could listen to Monday's shiur. But it got me thinking, because there's another prominent image on the Arch of Titus, and that is on the right-hand side. You have the Table of the Trumpets. By the way, does everyone have the Maror Mekumis? So the live part doesn't have the Maror Mekumis. If you're listening online, you could subscribe. Go to our site, rabbidg.com. Hit the subscribe button. You'll get all the Maror Mekumis. Let's see if I can hold this up for you. Basically, this is the menorah, but this is the table that houses the trumpets. And in this week's parsha, it talks about the chatzoitzrois. So you got to wonder, of all the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, why did the Romans depict specifically the trumpets, the chatzoitzrois? The menorah, I get. The menorah is the most recognizable symbol of the Jewish people. The menorah is the iconic symbol of Klal Yisrael. Even the state of Israel picked the menorah as its symbol. Actually, the state of Israel picked the menorah as its symbol from this menorah. They took this menorah and they made it the symbol of the state of Israel. And Rav Herzog said that was a bad choice because this is not what the menorah looked like. So why in the world would you pick as a symbol a incorrect halachic depiction, especially the depiction of the Romans capturing it? You know, what kind of symbol is that? But what I would like to talk about today are the chatzoitzrois. Actually, in the picture on the bottom, right, you have to agree that when you have pictures on the Maror Mekumis, it makes it much more interesting, right? Even though, you know, the last thing on your mind is that we're going to be analyzing ancient Roman sculpture tonight, but that's exactly what we're going to be doing. Because I've seen the Arch of Titus hundreds of times, but I was never really ma'ayin in what we're going to do today, and it has very interesting ramifications. So there's a sefer, Menoras Zahav Tahar. It's all about the construction and the depiction of the menorah. But he raises the question in the context of trying to determine, is the menorah on the Arch of Titus a halachic depiction of the menorah? Well, let's try to study what the chatzoitzrois are doing on the Arch of Titus. So if you study it in a historical context, you get a little idea of what the planners of this arch, what their goal in making this image was. In other words, why is this the image that decorates the Arch of Titus? Now, if you look at the Arch of Titus on the right side, that's not in your picture, you'll see the horses and the chariots of the victorious Titus. You know, we always think about Titus as some, you know, big, tall, handsome guy. He was none of the above, okay? He was a... But his victor, his horse and chariot was depicted on the right-hand side of the arch, and on the left-hand side of the arch are the Judea captive, in other words, the captive Jews. So now, if on one side it's depicting, if on the one side it's depicting the victory of Titus, and on the other side it's depicting the conquest of Yehuda, so you would imagine that this mural, that so to speak, is on the interior of the arch between the entrance and the exit, it would have something to do with the victory of Titus over the Jewish people. Now, two things we see off the bat. There, it's depicting primarily the conquest of two Kalim. Number one, upon the entrance, because you're meant to see it going towards the direction that the soldiers are marching, you have the the Chatzotzreis, and then you encounter the Menorah. Now, this I never realized. Everyone is facing one direction. All of these people, and by the way, he says here that the shorter people are captive Jews. But there are a few guys that are, there are a few gentlemen here who are taller, depicted as taller, and they have more extensive begadim. So you see that the captive Jews have these robes that don't cover their knees, right? But there are a few guys over here, and he says these are presumably senators, that they have long robes. So that indicates there are three individuals that have long robes. The third guy from the left-hand side, the third guy from the right-hand side, and the first guy on the right-hand side. You see, they're all wearing robes, like they're rebbes, Roman rebbes, yeah? I don't know if that's the right terminology. They're Roman senators, right? You see the third guy on the left-hand side, the third guy on the right-hand side, and the first guy. They're all wearing robes. But what's important to notice is all of these three guys are holding something in their hand. They are all holding laurel wreath leaves. Did you ever notice that? So the guy standing by the Chatzotzreis with the long robe, facing everybody else. Everyone is facing forward. He's facing to the guys. He's holding a laurel wreath reed, which in Hebrew is called Zar Ale Dafna. The third guy on the right with the robe is also holding a laurel wreath reed. And the first guy on the right is holding a laurel wreath leaf. All the three senators who are wearing the robe and holding the wreath are all the ones standing by one of the Kalim. Now, let's see how educated you are. What is the symbol of a laurel wreath leaf? Conquest. What award? You have to go to Good Masifta. What award is symbolized by the laurel wreath leaf? The Nobel Prize. The Nobel Prize, okay? Now, the three people who are holding the laurel wreath leaves are standing by the Kalim. One guy by the Chatzotzreis, see him? The guy with the robe and the laurel wreath leaf. One guy by the Menorah, and one guy presumably by the Shulchan, which is not fully displayed. But the two Kalim that are fully displayed are the Menorah and the Chatzotzreis. Now, why they're showing victory and conquest over these two Kalim, there's going to be a simple reason, and I would like to dig a little deeper, and I think there's a tremendous Matanah Min HaShemayim over here. The Menorah, obviously, is the most iconic symbol of the Jewish people. It's not a coincidence. The State of Israel chose it. You go to any mosaic in any ancient shul in Eretz Yisrael, you've got a Menorah over there. You go to the catacombs, you have Menorahs there. The Menorah is the iconic symbol of the Jewish people. In fact, many idolaters, even when we discussed this topic many years ago, we quoted from Likutei Sichos, yeah? Where the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that this menorah is not the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. This menorah was a personal idolater's menorah. Why would an idolater have a menorah? Because since the menorah was the iconic symbol of the Jewish people in their house of worship, many people adopted it. Okay. So the menorah, I understand why they're showing conquest and victory over of. But, you know, I mean, between me and you, if this, why would they not pick, I don't know, the Mizbeach, or pick the Aroin, or pick one of the other Kelim, the Chatzoitzrois? The Chatzoitzrois is not even a Klei HaMikdash. Why in this iconic mural are they showing victory over the menorah and the Chatzoitzrois? So the answer to that, Rebbe Yisrael Ariel says very simply, is because the Chatzoitzrois were the tool of Melchama. We read in this week's Parsha, take a look at number 2, the Chisavayu Melchama Ba'artzechem. If war will come to your land, al hatsar hatsar eschem, or any distressing situation, you're going to blow the trumpets. V'nizkartem lefnei Hashem lekechem, you'll be remembered before Hashem. V'noishatem me'oyveichem, and you'll be safe from your enemy. So in other words, the only tool of war, the Jewish symbol of war, is the Chatzoitzrois. So in order to indicate that they won the war and they subdued our war efforts, so they show them carrying away the Chatzoitzrois with the guy, the senator, holding the laurel wreath, leave, indicating they're victorious over the Chatzoitzrois. But there's got to be some kind of message to the Jewish people over here, why the two Kelim that the Romans are carrying off and displaying their victory over are the menorah and the Chatzoitzrois. So that's what we're going to talk about today. What exactly was the purpose of these Chatzoitzrois? Again, you go to war, you sound the trumpets, and it doesn't say it's going to energize the people. It doesn't say it's going to fortify the people. It says you'll be remembered before Hashem like the shofar, right? The purpose of the shofar is to be remembered before Hashem. So too, the Chatzoitzrois help us be remembered before Hashem. In fact, in Parshas Balak, when Bilam is unintentionally singing the praises of the Jewish people, he says, "Loi hibir oven b'Yaakov, I do not gaze any iniquity in Yaakov, v'loi ra'a amal b'Yisrael, Hashem eloi kav imoy, Usruas Melech Boy." Rashi interprets Usruas Melech Boy. Bilam was saying, you know, I'm very jealous. The friendship of the king is with the Jewish people. True as a lesson of Reos. True as a lesson of Reos. But Ibn Ezra says differently. Usruas Melech Boy means Bilam was jealous that the trua of the king is with Klal Yisrael. B'machane Yisrael, in the Jewish camps. V'zeh usikatem trua. In other words, Bilam was saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, why do you favor them? You've given them the Chatzoitzrois, that they just blow it and they win the war. So Bilam is, so to speak, pointing out the greatness of the Jewish people, that all we need to do is blow the trumpets and the Ribbono Shel Olam saves us. So let's try to discuss what were the function of these Chatzoitzrois. They were made by Moshe Rabbeinu. And even Yehoshua ben Nun was not allowed to use them, so it's doubtful that these Chatzoitzrois that the Romans were carrying away were the Chatzoitzrois of Moshe, but they always had Chatzoitzrois. They always made Chatzoitzrois. They found near, maybe on the southern wall or the southwestern wall, a little groove on the outside wall of the retaining wall of the Har HaBayis, some kind of groove where the Kohanim stood where they blew the Chatzoitzrois. You could look it up. You could see it. And it says they found the inscription. Like, this is the spot where they blew the Chatzoitzrois. They found the ancient inscription. Okay. I didn't know where this was going. I almost gave a shir on archaeology and halacha. Okay. So let's discuss the role of these Chatzoitzrois. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tainis, Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah, Lizoik ulahariya b'chatzoitzrois. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to cry out and to blow the trua of the chatzoitzrois al kol tzara shetavei al tzibor, for any distress that it should not come to the tzibor. Shenemar al hatsar hatsar eschem. So if there's plague, if there's famine, if there's locust, we have to cry out and blow the chatzoitzrois, which seems to indicate that the blowing of the chatzoitzrois were not to galvanize the troops, But the blowing of the chazal was a form of what we called sa'aka. It was a form of davening. We daven to Hashem by crying out and blowing the chatzoitzos. The blow of the chatzoitzos was a form of tefillah. In fact, in the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam discusses, you know, they also blew chatzoitzos when they brought karbonos. And the Rambam counts blowing chatzoitzos when you bring karbonos and blowing chatzoitzos for a tragedy, for a tzara, it's one mitzvah. The Rambam doesn't count it as two mitzvahs, the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. And the Achronim, the Kesef Mishnah, seems to be bothered. Well, we know the Rambam counts Tkeah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Tkeah Shofar on Yovel as two different mitzvahs. Even though it's the same act, it's just two different times. So then why does the Rambam count blowing the chatzoitzos over karbonos and blowing the chatzoitzos over a tzara as one mitzvah? Here, it's the same act, also two different times. So why shofar and yovel are two mitzvahs, and chatzoitzos for a tzara and chatzoitzos for karbonos is one mitzvah? The Brisker Rav, in discussing what exactly was Bilam so impressed with when he said Usruas Melech Boy, which the Brisker Rav here in this print quotes the Ramban, but it's not in the Ramban, it's Ibn Ezra, which Ibn Ezra interprets that it's referring to the blowing of the Chatzoitzros. How do the Chatzoitzros show the praise of the Jewish people? So the Brisker Rav says like this: do Gentiles have tefillah? Could a Gentile pray? Yes. Are their prayers effective? They could be effective. In fact, Rav Moshe has a tshuva that Be'ez Tzara, a Gentile must pray. It's one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. It's part of Emunah. So a Gentile has prayer, but there's a form of prayer given to the Jewish people that only Klal Yisrael has, the nations of the world don't have, and that's the form of prayer of the Chatzoitzros, which is Tza'aka. We have the form of prayer called Tza'aka. The chatzoitzroits symbolize the cry of the Jewish people. In other words, a Gentile could pray, but they don't have this component of tefillah called tze'aka. And that's what Bilam was very impressed with. In fact, there's a very interesting discussion by Rabbi Yehuda Gershuni. Is blowing the chatzoitzroits part of bakashas rachamim, or is it one of the halachos of war? The nafkamina would be, if you don't blow, was the war conducted improperly, or was it just a lack of davening? And in the Sefer Kol Yehuda, he says that if you look in the Sifri, we learn out from the pasuk, V'chisavoyu melchama ba'artzachem, al hatzar hatzor eschem, hariyosem b'chatzoitzrois, that there's a mitzvah of tkiyas chatzoitzrois at a time of melchama, whether it's Mechames Mitzvah or Mechames Rishus. Where does the Rambam bring the halacha to blow chatzoitzros? We just saw in Hilchas Tainas. Where does the Rambam bring Hilchas Melchama? In Hilchas Melachim. So why didn't the Rambam bring the laws of blowing the chatzoitzros in Hilchas Melachim? Why would he bring in Hilchas Tainas? The answer is blowing a trumpet is not a component of the war. It's a component of tefillah. It's not part of the war effort. It's part of the requirement of Bakashas Rachamim. The Ramban, by the way, you know, is tefillah d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? Anyone know? D'rabbanan. That is definitely an opinion. The Ramban holds tefillah is d'rabbanan. The Rambam holds tefillah is d'oraisa. The Rambam says once a day, tefillah is d'oraisa. The Ramban says tefillah is d'rabbanan. But be'ez tzara, tefillah becomes d'oraisa. So, the Ramban, in writing that tefillah is d'oraisa, be'ez tzara, he says that at a time of tzara, our eyes and our heart need to be to Hashem like a servant to their master. Like the pasuk says, "V'chisavoyu melchama ba'artzachem al atzar atzar." In other words, the Ramban talks about blowing chatzoitzros in the context that tefillah is d'oraisa be'ez tzara. Clearly, the blowing of the chatzoitzros is a din in tefillah, not a din in melchama, which is very interesting because it comes out that the two vessels that the Romans depicted their capture of was the menorah and the trumpets. The trumpets are the symbol of tefillah. What is the menorah the symbol of? Menorah is the symbol of Torah. So you say we have the Arayin already. The Arayin is a symbol of Tar Shebachsav. That they already claim that the Tar Shebachsav is theirs, you know? Our Torah is a Tar Shebalpeh. The Kol Yaakov is a Tar Shebalpeh. The Old Testament, the Luchais, well, the Tar Shebachsav, they already co-opted that. So the Menorah is the Torah, and the Chatzotzrois are Tefillah. So I want to share with you something very interesting. I thought it was like a chiddush, and I was trying to find support. There's so much support, it's like, it's not even a chiddush, okay? But Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, Reb Chaim Volozhiner's Yartzei was yesterday. Reb Chaim says that anything in Torah that you didn't realize before, and now you realize, that's a chiddush. You don't have to, like, you know, rediscover America to have a chiddush. Okay, let's go to the famous pasuk. Vayigash Yaakov el Yitzchak Aviv. Yaakov approached his father Yitzchak. Vayimusheyu, Yitzchak feels him. Vayoymer hakoyol koyol Yaakov. Vahayadayim yidei Esav. If I would have asked you, what does Chazal famously say? When the koyol of Yaakov is dominant, the yidei Esav have no power. When do the hands of Esav have power? When the koyol of Yaakov is weak. What koyol are we talking about? Everyone here would have said it's talking about learning. Everybody knows, that's what they always told us. It's talking about learning. When we learn Torah, Esav has no power. When we don't learn Torah, Esav has power. But I want to bring something very interesting to your attention. Take a look at the original Medrash. The Medrash says, Davar achar ha-koil kol. By the way, notice how the first koil is spelled chaser. The second koil is spelled male with a vav. So the Gra in the Sefer Devar Lo says, it could be read, ha-kal. If you treat lightly, Koil Yaakov, then watch out. That's one way to understand it. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah says, Davar Acher, HaKoil Kol Yaakov, Amar Reb Rechia, B'sha She Yaakov, Markin B'Koiloi. When Yaakov Avinu lowers his voice, Yidei Esav Shaltois. The hands of Esav are dominant. Uchsiv Vayiloinu Kol Adas, they complained, Vayov Ayamalik. U'v'sha Shu Metzavtze B'Koiloi. When Yaakov Avinu's voice is chirping, Ein hayadayim de Esav, Ein yedei Esav shaltos. Amar Rabbi Abba bar Kahana, Loi amdu filoi soifin ba'olam, Kebilam ben Ba'ar, Uche avnimois hagardi. There were never philosophers in the world like Bilam and avnimois. I don't know who avnimois was, and I'm not sure I want to meet him. Niskansu kol evicham etzlai. All the goyim gathered to them. Amrulai, they said, Toimer shanu cham l'zdavig l'umazu. Can we confront this nation? Amar, they said, go check. L'chu v'chazru al-batei k'nesiois v'al-batei midrashis. Now this was very telling to me. The lashon of the Medrash is, go look in the Beis HaKnesses and in the Beis HaMedrash. Now the Beis HaKnesses is a different place than the Beis HaMedrash. Yeah? The Beis HaMedrash is a different place than the Beis HaKnesses. In the Beis HaKnesses, they do it here right. They daven. There are no sfarim in the Beis HaKnesses. I remember once when I was younger, I went with my grandfather to shul. So, of course, he was very early. And, you know, so he took a chumash and a siddur. And I took a chumash and a siddur. And I'm looking for sfarim. Like, my grandfather said, what do you plan on doing with these sfarim? I said, I don't know, learning. He said, but we're davening now. You don't why would you be learning? You're not allowed to do that. What times exactly? You know, you have basically a split second between Sheni and Shlishi. All other times, you're telling me that you daven faster than the people? They're not even saying every word. How in the world are you davening faster than them? You know? Like, ki'ilu, like, they actually let you say all the words? Anyway, I just stuck out of my head. The Medrash says that when Klal Yisrael are found in the Batei Knesios and the Batei Midrashos. Batei Knesios is for Tefillah. Batei Midrashos is for Torah. So I'm thinking, the Koil Yaakov, is it Tefillah or is it Torah? So let me give you a few examples over here. In Parshas Chukas, coming up soon, Klal Yisrael are trying to get into Eretz Yisrael, and they make a left turn. They're going through the land of Edom. So they send a message to Esav. Koyamar achicha Yisrael. You know how difficult things have been for the last 40 years. And we went down to Mitzrayim. Vanitzak el Hashem. We cried out to Hashem. Vayishma koileinu. And he heard our voice. Why in the world are they telling Esav this like history piece? By the way, you know, we were in a jam and we cried out to God and he listened to us. Says Rashi. Don't you remember? Dad gave us a bracha. Hakoil kol Yaakov. Then in hayadayim yidei Esav shaltois. Well, it works. When we cry out and we davened, bebracha shebirachnu avino hakol kol Yaakov she'anu tzayakim tzaaka. By the way, which tool in the Beis Hamikdash is the tool of tzaaka? L'chatzayitzrois. She'anu tzayakim and venenim. Meaning, the bracha that we both were vying over, we have it. Now, wait a second, that's not what we always thought. I always thought Kol Yaakov was learning. And here we see explicitly, Kol Yaakov is davening. You know what Edom says back? Vayoymer, I love Edom. Loy saver bi pen bacher. Don't you dare step foot in my land, I will kill you with a sword. Says Rashi, why they say a sword? Because Esav says, you think you have the bracha of the Kol Yaakov? No, we have the bracha of the Yadayim Yidei Esav. Let's see which one works better. So in other words, they're both proclaiming, Esav is saying, we have the Yidei Esav, Yaakov is saying, we have the Kol Yaakov. And what's the Kol Yaakov? Tefillah. That's a chiddush. I don't think most people realize that. Or, let me give you another example. The Gemara Megillah says, what is the main theme of Megillah Esther? Kimi Goy Gadol, who is like the great nation of Klal Yisrael? Who is like this great nation? That what? Asher lo yelokim krovim elav, that Hashem is close to. Bechol kareinu elav. Whenever we cry out to Him, He's close to us. In other words, what's the theme of Megillas Esther? The Jews were in trouble. We cried out to Hashem and Hashem listened. Says the Maral in Or Chadash, how were Klal Yisrael saved in the times of Purim? Fourth line in number 17. Mikayach hatfila shahayu goivrim baza ala molek bitfila kedachsiv hakoil koil Yaakov. It says hakoil koil Yaakov hayadayim yidei Esav ki im ein koil koil Yaakov hayadayim yidei Esav. If our voice is not heard, then the hands of Esav prevail. Aval im koil koil Yaakov ein shaltin yidei Esav. And how do I know that when the Kol Yaakov is strong or weak, then Esav responds conversely? Udvar me'elu yiduim, eich Kol Yaakov menatzech sa'amolek. It says, v'chashar gavru yidei Moshe b'tfila. When Moshe raised his hands in prayer, then Amalek fell. When Moshe lowered his hands in prayer, then Amalek was victorious. Clearly, Rashi and the Maral say the Kol Yaakov is davening. They don't say anything about learning. However, we're very familiar that the Kol Yaakov is also referring to the Bate Midrashos. So which one is it? Is it the Bate Knesios or is it the Bate Midrashos? The answer is, you got to pay attention to the words. Do you think it's just literary style? Hakoil, Koil, Yaakov. Why do you think it says it twice? Because one is the Koil is Bate Knesios and it's referring to Tefillah Chaser. And Koil is Koil Yaakov. That's the Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Oyholim. That's why it says it twice. The Koil, Koil Yaakov. Bate Knesios, Bate Midrashos. The Eitz Yosef says on the Midrash, Kishe Yaakov Machnes HaKoil Shel Torah Utvila. When Yaakov Avinu brings in the Koil of Torah and the Koil of Tvila. Likewise, the Sfasemes says this most explicitly. Hakoil, koil, Yaakov. Koil, betoira, koil, betfila. There you have it. That's the chiddush of the night. It's a good one, no? Rabbi Yitz says it's good. That's a very big chiddush. Koil Yaakov is not just learning. It's not just davening. It's both. How do we rule over Esav, Amalek, Rome? With two things. We need to do two things. We need tefillah and we need Torah. Or if we had to symbolize it, if we needed to symbolize, what vessel in the Mikdash represented the Koel of Tefillah? What vessel in the Mikdash represented the Koel of Torah? I probably would say, and especially if I want to say this year, but I probably would say that the Menorah was the Koel of Torah. The Menorah represents the Torah. After all, there are 49 designs on the Menorah, plus the Menorah itself, that represents the 50 gateways of wisdom. The Netziv says that if somebody would ask a good question, the Rav Tarfon would say, Kaftar v'ferach, Kaftar v'ferach. Yeah, we had a Rebbe. If he asked a good question, he'd say, Kaftar v'ferach. Why? Because the influence of Torah Shebaal Peh came to the world through the medium of the Menorah. The Menorah represents the Torah Shebaal Peh. And what Kli in the Mikdash represents Tefillah? Especially the tefillah of Tzaka, the koil that Yaakov, that Klal Yisrael said, Vanitzak El Hashem, those are the Chatzaitzrais. So, even though in all probability, I don't think that these guys in the mural necessarily were well versed in the machshava behind the exact power of the Jewish people. And probably they took the menorah because the menorah is the iconic symbol of the Jewish people. And they took the Chatzaitzrais because that's our a tool of war, but on a deeper level, this is a haunting image to the Jewish people that if you wanted to describe, when is it Yadayim Yidei Esav? I mean, I don't think there's any mural in the world that has more Yadayim Yidei Esavs in it. Look how many Yadayim Yidei Esavs are in this mural. If you wanted to know what brings on the Yadayim Yidei Esav, it's when they defeat us because we have lost our way when it comes to the menorah and when it comes to the chatzotzrois. And I think for a Jew to look at this depiction, the limud is very clear and very powerful and very straightforward, that they were victorious, they destroyed Yerushalayim, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, because they were able to be mezgaber b'yadayim yidei Esav. Why? When they're misgaber b'yadayim yidei Esav, that means they've defeated the koil and the koil. The koil of tefillah and the koil of Torah. The koil of Torah, the menorah. That's what we always focused on all these years. But I think it's worthwhile taking note that there's another prominent item that's displayed over here, and those are the chatzotzrois, which is a tremendous koyach of tzaaka. Tzaaka is a different form of tefillah than just regular tefillah. You know, when you daven Shemone Esrei, that's regular tefillah. But sometimes you're in a jam, you're in a tzara, then, according to Ramban, tefillah becomes the iraisa. According to Rav Moshe, tefillah beis tzara becomes one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. It's one of the most basic obligations, not only of a Jew, but really of all of mankind. But Hashem gave the koyach hatza'aka to Klal Yisrael. And that means if we're in Golos and we're subjugated by the Romans, that means we got to bring the menorah back. The menorah is the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha, and we have to repossess, so to speak, the chatzotzrois, which are the koyach of tzaaka. Rabbi Isai, thank you for coming. Have a great evening. Shkayach.
The arch was built about 60-70 years after Peter's.
No, the arch was built in the year 81, 11 years. The arch?
Yes.
The arch was built by Domitian, by Domitian, which... Yeah?
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.